unleash your inner happiness, and strengthen your identity in Christ.
I'm Kelly Jean Pittman, and this is my amazing daughter, Jaina. We're a mom and daughter duo who unapologetically focus on living a Christ-centered life. Through biblical teachings and the latest research on brain health, we'll share solutions and inspiration.
From strengthening family relationships to overcoming daily emotional and spiritual battles, you'll grow spiritually and emotionally as you discover God's immense peace.
By putting God first, we'll help you to faithfully and unapologetically share the truth of Christ with those around you.
And if you want to learn more about our journey in following Christ and breaking free from anxious thoughts, check out my mom's book, Unleashing Happiness. It is now available on Amazon.
We're honored to share this time with you and pray that the Lord reveal His beauty in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome, beautiful listeners. Thank you for joining us today.
Welcome back to the podcast.
Yes, amen. And it's very exciting for us today because not only are we launching our podcast today, but we are also launching my book, Unleashing Happiness.
Yes, we are so excited. I'm really excited. I've read the book. I've lived the book. And I'm very happy that it's being released and that it is released because it's going to help so many people. And I hope that you guys also read it and you are just empowered by it and know that your brain can change and
that God, with God, all things are possible, yeah. Right? He's the anchor of everything. Mm-hmm. And so far, the pre-reviews and the pre-launch have been really exciting because the message that I've been getting back is that even people who have read the book, even though it's about our mother-daughter journey and it's helping you after the adoption kind of to let go of the thoughts that kind of held your mind hostage. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was kind of a vicious cycle, yeah. And it took years and it was hard to figure out how to manage with some of the difficult challenges that we had.
Yeah.
And so it's been almost...
genuinely, like, even though it's about our story, it's applicable to everybody, I would say.
It is. And that's the exciting piece, mm-hmm. that I'm getting back because some of the number one fans of the book, they're not mothers. Mm-hmm. They don't even have kids. One is a 15-year-old high school student, yeah. who loved it and could relate it to her psychology class,
yeah.
and gave the book to her psychology teacher,
yeah.
to read. And another is a woman who's in her 40s that has no kids and never been married, but she said it changed her life in the way that she looked at everyone around her, mm-hmm. for the better. And she's like, nobody's talking about these things and people should be talking about these things, mm-hmm. because it can help you change your life.
Yeah.
And so it's Unleashing Happiness, How I Help Free My Child from Anxious Thoughts by Kelly Jean Pittman. It's on Amazon now. And today, what's so exciting though, is that we're actually kind of digging into chapter 2.
Yeah.
We're going to get started because it's a very important lesson to learn. And what we're talking about is like personality.
Yeah. To discover our God-given personalities.
And who wants to discover that? It's like me, right? It's, yeah. like, I want to be, in fact, that was part of my prayer. I want God to guide me in everything. But my gosh, I really want to shine my personality that God has given me.
Yeah. And, you know, the bigger thing that we're talking about today is oftentimes the world or Satan or both tried to tell us who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult when that thing that they're telling us is negative.
Yeah, it doesn't align with our internal spirit,
yeah.
with who we really are. Mm-hmm. So then we really feel off and we can get depressed,
mm-hmm.
angry, defensive. We're out of alignment.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel good. And I guess all my life, honestly, I've been told that some people are just naturally happy,
yep.
good with people. And some people are naturally depressed, anxious, worried, whatever. That's just them. Let them be. That's, yeah. just the way they were designed.
Yeah. And as someone who has experienced kind of the people telling me the latter, where I'm just naturally anxious or worried or awkward or whatever.
Right. I mean,
it doesn't feel good.
And no.
And then I come from an angle where I'm asking myself, did God make a dud?
I
Am
know.
I just this way? Am I always going to have to deal with anxiety, worry, and just never going to be able to thrive? Like, I just have to get through my day and survive it.
Right.
And it just didn't feel natural that I couldn't enjoy the way that God wanted me to be.
Right. Where's that peace? Right.
Yeah.
Where is that joy?
Yeah.
It's like, and what kind of shame, what kind of weight is there to think like, oh my gosh, this is who I am and God created me to be this way? It's yeah. like, that's not true.
No.
It's not true at all is what I really discovered. It is not. And I didn't really think much about it, though, until I had kids. I had a son and I had a daughter, and they were 2.5 years apart. Mm-hmm. And my daughter's sitting right next to me. But
only had one daughter.
Only had one daughter. So who I'm talking about, we know who it is. There's no...
No skirting around this.
No skirting around this. But one of my kids was kind of happy-go-lucky when they were little. And one of my kids was actually angry. I'm very scared and very worried about everything. Every transition was hard. It was very explosive moods. A lot of anger, a lot of distrust. And it was like, whoa, what is going on? It's like, there's something wrong. This God-led journey to my daughter, God specifically guiding me to my daughter, no uncertain terms, through prayer. And it's like, I don't think that God wanted us to have a relationship that was fraught with anger mm-hmm. and opposition
no.
and not really like being with each other because there was so much conflict.
Yeah.
So it was very, very difficult to handle on both ends because neither of us knew what was going on.
No. I mean, for me, it was just, I thought who I was, oh, this is something I'm always going to have to deal with. I'm always going to be angry. I'm always going to be oppositional.
Right. Just deal with it or yeah. leave like everybody yeah. else has, basically, mm-hmm. I think probably was your fear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the belief that some people have to live their life in fear.
Yeah.
But when in reality, when we have our identity in Jesus Christ, and that's kind of what this podcast is all about, is forming that identity and that yeah. strength in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who gives us happiness.
Yeah.
God is love. He's the joy in our heart. He is our peace.
And thank the Lord. Literally thank the Lord.
Amen, sweet Jesus.
He's in my Woo-hoo! Life. Because I no longer, well, okay, I'm human. I still have fear and I still.
Yes, yes, am, we always will.
There are things that tick me, but I'm not constantly stuck in no. worry or anger or opposition. The no. Lord is truly transformative, and he can do that in you. If you're feeling a certain way, if you think
Amen.
That, oh my goodness, I'm just this sad person, I'm depressed. No, you're not. Like,
that's There's not. There's more. God that, wants more for you, right?
Yeah, he has that's not more. Your identity. Your identity is not being stuck in
right.
fear. It's not being stuck
no.
in anxiety. Your
no.
identity is rooted in Christ. If you believe in God and you believe in a higher, like, not a higher power, if you believe in Jesus Christ, he is your identity. He is your rock. And he's truly transformative.
Amen.
He is a transformative power that can work in your life.
He's love.
Yeah.
And you're made in love because we're made in his image.
Yeah.
Those are the facts. Those are God's facts. And so we are not the fear that's created in the world around us. However, we can mirror that fear. We can take on that fear. Mm-hmm. And that's where the problem arises, where we feel like we are that fear that we see all around us. And we can't move beyond that. So.
No. Which, you know, we have a stress response for a reason.
Right.
As it keeps us safe and it keeps us. It just works well for us. But
yes.
We're not supposed to be stuck in it all the time.
No. So a large part of the book, Unleashing Happiness, kind of dives into our stress response. Because our stress response is what keeps us in that fear response.
Yeah.
And sometimes due to trauma and a lot of other things that are talked about in the mm-hmm. book. But a lot of things can keep us so that we're functioning out of our stress response on a daily basis. And what I discovered is that actually when you were little, you were functioning out of your stress response, I would guess, for the first 8 years of your life until we probably started doing neurofeedback.
Yeah.
That it was just this constant fear. Everything. You were fearful about everything. And so, and the book talks about that. We're not going to talk about that necessarily right now. But Unleashing Happiness is available on Amazon. And we're going to talk about chapter 2. And chapter 2 talks about personality traits.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about behavior versus personality traits.
Yeah, because our behavior is not our personality. Because our behavior can change.
Yeah, none of our behavior is. Even as a parent, we think of it oftentimes with a child, but gosh, when we're screaming at our kid like a raving lunatic, or even when we're doing homework with our kids, I've talked to many parents. I use the term buffalo. My daughter knows what buffalo means in doing homework. It ain't pretty when mama goes buffalo.
No. You're just bringing up so many great memories.
She didn't look very happy. Buffalo's not a good term.
No. I haven't heard that in a really, really long time.
No, oh it's a mad.
Bless from the past.
Bless mad person. And I've talked to many moms who are like, I don't know, homework just like flips me out when they like try. It's like, so anyways, that is not personality. That's buffalo is not my personality.
No, imagine if you, imagine though. That'd be crazy. That'd be wild.
If I was a raging lunatic.
I mean, that would be something.
So, you know, so our behaviors don't have to define us. It's not our personality. We should never be locked into our fears, into our stress response, into our triggers, into what makes us rage and do things that we don't even remember doing sometimes because we're stuck in our limbic system, our stress response.
Yeah, which is so interesting, though, because I was thinking this. Imagine if you were, though. Imagine people trying to define you by your bad behavior. That would suck, right?
Yes, that would be terrible. Suck.
And you're like, then you're trying to defend yourself. Like, I'm not, I swear I'm not that way. But that's how the enemy likes to get to us. And I was listening to this podcast, and I can't remember who it was or what it was or what episode or even what the podcast was about, but I wrote this down and it stuck out. And he was talking about how Satan knows our name but calls us by our sin, which is like out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus knows our sin, knows our fear, but he calls us by our name, which is our true identity. And I thought that was it's very prevalent or relevant to what we're talking about right
Absolutely.
Now, where it's like the world and Satan is going to, they're going to try to call you out by your bad behavior. But Jesus is going to look at you, see your behavior, and he's going to call you to who you are.
Right. And so, and Jesus is out of love, complete love and compassion. And so, but the devil is all about shame. That's core belief of shame, where you want to just hide and curl upon yourself. And you're like, I went buffalo. That's shameful, right? It's like, how could I do that? I don't even know. You know, if someone took a picture of me, I would be mortified to see myself that way. Yeah. But to be defined that way, no. That's not who we are.
It's not fair.
No, and it's not who we really are. That's not our spirit. Our spirit is of love. It's just, so it's somebody who's stuck and acting out of fear, stress, or trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not our given personality trait, but the stress response that takes over. And so that's most important. And so we have a Bible verse that really backs this up.
Yeah.
Did you want to read that one? Or should I read
so
that
it's,
one?
So it's 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God gave us a spirit of fear." Butchered that one. "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and of self-control." And as I was reading this, as I was looking up some Bible verses, there's this really great resource called Blue Letter Bible, which if you don't have it, you can download it on your phone. And it just, you can like look at verses and then it talks about the original language of what it was written in and kind of some other definitions. And I wanted to know what self-control meant, because I think that word can kind of get overlooked. And it was talking about how it means soundness of mind.
Amen.
Which Woo-hoo. Is so cool because, like, that's God. God is our sound of mind. He allows us to overcome and to have a mind that is able to be disciplined and not be overcome by fear.
Right. And I believe that with that sound mind, that's that God's truth and his peace that resides. So self-control is out of peace. It's not out of chaos. It's peace.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can think clearly, you're not in your stress response, which can be chaotic, and you can make the best decisions, and you're going to act appropriately. And so that's right in the Bible. We are not of fear, right there. So it backs it all up. And so moving on and unleashing happiness, right? We start off right in the second chapter already, talking about challenging behavior is not personality, because it often gets so confused. But our behavior is often motivated by fear.
Yeah.
And if we dig deep, deep into our subconscious, a lot of times, well, we do have to dig deep to figure out what that fear is, mm-hmm. because we don't know. And there's shame typically around it, and we're trying to block it because it's very uncomfortable, right?
Yeah. So I mean, that's what our brain does. It's very protective. Oh, that's icky. I don't want to feel that. Okay, you know what?
Right.
Block it.
God designed our brain beautifully so that we can not experience very difficult and traumatizing experiences. But it becomes a problem when we use our brain out of habit that we go into that stress response.
Yeah.
Because we weren't
meant to be there. And then it manifests itself into self-destructive behaviors.
Right. And believe it or not, one of a therapist that I used to watch a lot has said, I think Marissa Peers is her name, the number one fear of everyone around the world is fear of not being enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that can manifest in many different ways,
yeah.
100 different ways.
I see that.
But the fear, it always gets down to that basic core.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what fear, our subconscious fears are often based on, not fitting in, not being accepted, not feeling lovable.
Yeah.
And so you've got to do a little bit of work to get there, but that's kind of driving these behaviors.
Yeah.
So in chapter 4, I talk about 4 patterns based in fear that mirror personality traits.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to figure out what our God-given personality is, and we're going to get to that. But first, we're going to talk about some of the stress response patterns that get confused as personality.
Yeah, which, looking at them, I think I've struggled with all 4 of them.
Yes.
At some point, which is actually a red flag, because our personality typically doesn't change super much.
Right. And so, and I know that there's more, but I got 4 major ones that I've seen, you know, within my daughter, within myself, within mm-hmm. my clients that
yeah.
kind of shine and like are seen in society as a personality trait that people
yeah.
label people as. And I think the first one I'm going to mention is very common, and this one's easy to see, that I think that you're functioning out of your stress response.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good way to start. And this is somebody who's very oppositional,
mm-hmm.
argumentative,
yeah,
defensive. The crabby old man. I mean, that's like your classic. I mean,
yeah.
but it could be anybody. Crabby old lady. The kid that is the bully, right?
Yeah.
He's always picking on people. He's always pushing people around. There's nothing positive coming out of that. Now, when you think about it, growing up, I guess, that would be a personality trait. He's a bully.
Yeah.
He's mean.
Oh.
It's just the way
he
is.
That old man is grumpy.
Yeah. That's just how they are. But what happens is like, I'd bet my life on it, that person's stuck in their stress response.
Yeah.
And that's their way of functioning.
Yep.
And that's their way of keeping control, and their way of keeping safe, and they're hiding deep inside the wound
yep.
of not being enough.
Yep.
Of not being loved.
Because you can, I mean, I dealt with opposition when I was younger, and in my head I think the way that I can rationalize it is, if I keep people at an arm's length, I have control over the situation. If they get too close, they can hurt me, but if I keep them away, then they can't. And so it's very much a self-protective measure of trauma. I don't mean that was my experience.
Right.
Everyone's gonna have their own reason of why they're doing it.
Right, and I think you explained it beautifully, and kind of keeping yourself safe. When you're pushing everybody else around, they can't push you around. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
the goal. When
yep.
you're controlling other people, they can't control you.
Yep.
When you're beating up other people, you're getting them before they get to you. And so deep down, a lot of times, like I say, it's hard sometimes to get to really what that cause is. And if you read my book, there's a lot of different causes that are kind of like weave a web of patterns that keep you stuck in your stress response.
Yeah.
And so that one's easy to see that it's negative, I think, and I think it's easy to see that it's coming out of fear. But when we move on to the next one, actually the next 3, it's like, I think these are surprising.
Yeah.
Well, I was surprised when I found
they can kind of, yeah. Well, let's just get into them.
Let's just go. So number 2 is perfectionism.
Yeah. Which, actually, I'm just perfect.
Yeah, and I
no,
know.
No,
I know for females and moms, and I think, yeah, just females in general. There's males too, but I think this is one to feel proud of. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, you strive for excellence. I like how you worded that when we were talking about it earlier. It's like somebody who strives for excellence and they excel.
Yeah, but
and what's wrong with that, man? I mean, hey, I'm perfect. What can I say?
not to humble you, but to humble you, you're not.
And I'm not. And I know I'm not. But yeah. I do have this drive for perfectionism.
And it's like you said before, it definitely comes out of a need to a validation or not enoughness. Mm-hmm. And for me, my perfectionism can come out in my schoolwork where I need to have an A. It's just so I could prove to somebody that I am something.
Right. And if it's okay, it's in the book, so hopefully I can share it. It's written on the back. But, right, you were going into special ed in kindergarten.
Yeah.
You had 7% letter recognition. And so you really struggled with school. And I think once we worked and got your eyesight fixed and a lot of other things reorganized in your brain, it became a way as proving yourself, yeah. I would guess, like you had said, yeah. like, hey, mm-hmm. I can do this. I'm not dumb after all. But even then, like the label that, I don't know, that you probably had or felt, I know that you felt like you weren't smart when you yeah. were younger.
Yeah.
And that label of being dumb or not smart or not good enough is huge. And it's not really who you are. And it's not your God-given personality. That's not the label. That's not who you are. Again, it goes back to love. But it drives fear.
Yep. My perfectionism is driven out of fear.
So for me, just to show how complicated this is, I definitely have perfectionism, mm-hmm. talents, and things. And if you would have told me I was a perfectionist, I probably would have laughed and said whatever and said no way. And then if he would have said it's out of fear of not being good enough, I would have really laughed at somebody in my younger years before I knew how the brain works, before I had the relationship with God and childhood trauma and the stress response and all this good stuff and figured it all out. I'd be very defensive, actually.
Yeah. I feel I'm right in the same boat.
But it's like, now, after I've learned what I've learned and I know how the brain functions, how trauma and different things affect the way we think about ourselves, definitely perfectionism was to be seen, to be good enough, to be like, hey, as a middle child, look at me, look at me, look at me. If I excel, maybe somebody will finally notice me. Mm-hmm. So we all have our own stories. Why it might stem from the same thing. We have 100 million different stories that it builds from. And so I can say now that I know that and I have this relationship with God and I look toward him instead of like performing, I can let it go. I still like to excel, but we'll get in that, like what's a God-given talent, I guess, and what's a red flag that it's not. We'll get into that a little bit later. So I guess I won't go into that right now. So hang on. We'll discuss that in just a little bit. But yes, perfectionism. When it's done out of fear, it is not a personality trait.
Mm-hmm. But it's just fear.
it's a stress pattern of coping with fear. Mm-hmm. A fear of typically failure and not being good enough is what it is. And so if that's you, it might be time to just kind of sit back and
Do some self-examination
and just like and do a little praying to see what God brings to mind.
Yeah.
And then next, I think, is the hardest one for me to understand that it comes out of a fear response.
I mean, now thinking about it, people pleasing is the third one. It makes total sense.
It does. When you understand the context of fear and that people don't want to be rejected, people pleasing makes sense.
Yeah.
But from my view, from kind of a shy person standing on the outside of things and the outside of groups and the outside of people, it seems to me like the people pleasers are always happy. They're always bubbly. They always have friends. They're always doing things in big groups. They're always in sync with everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, it looks like just a magic place to be.
Yeah. But it's really not.
Yeah. And if you want to talk about that a little bit from experience. Well, just
as someone who has struggled with people-pleasing tendencies, you really have no identity. And we talked about this earlier, where you are so involved with everybody else. You have no opinion. You have no self, like, autonomy.
Awareness. Yeah.
Like, you're just so involved with other people and you're spreading yourself thin and you're tired and it's very just difficult. And it comes out of a place of total fear. Oh my goodness, people aren't going to like me. I want people to like me. I want to be perceived as the nice person. I'm literally, as someone who has had people pleasing tendencies, you're literally tricking someone into believing that you are this happy person all the time, when really it's done out of fear.
Yes, and sitting on the other side of the fence, I definitely have friends and people who say they like certain things, and then, like, they'll try to go to a concert or listen to music or something, or hear through somebody else that they don't really like it. Like, they're just going along with me. And that's frustrating as me, because I feel like, hey, I thought we were friends. You can't tell me what you really like.
Yeah.
And I'd be wounded, actually. But what I understand now is that they probably really weren't aware that they didn't like it at the time. Because when you get caught up in that energy, you just go with the flow. You just mesh with them. Mm-hmm. You just mesh with them. And I've worked with a lot of people pleasers now. Mm-hmm. And their lives are miserable. They have no boundaries whatsoever. They get used and abused. And from the outside, it looks like things are great. Internally, they're not great at all.
Yeah.
Because
it can be very self-destructive.
Yeah. It's coming totally out of a fear. Mm-hmm. of not being accepted, that they kind of lose themselves in everyone else.
Yeah.
So that brings us down to number four. This is our fourth one. And this one I think is kind of surprising a little bit too.
Yeah.
And this one's easygoing. Yeah. What's wrong with being easygoing?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it is a self-protective measure once again.
Yes.
To not feel. I don't know what they're not feeling. Or
they want to feel anything. They're trying to block emotion, basically. They don't want to. You hit the nose. You don't know what they're feeling. They're not feeling. You're right. They absolutely are not feeling. So they shut everything out, everyone out. They can talk. They're people. So easygoing, they go along with everything. But they don't have an opinion. Mm-hmm. And they're different than people pleasers because they aren't working at trying to please people.
Yeah.
They're just chill. You want to do this? Fine. They're not necessarily going to go out of their way to impress you.
It's just kind of like, okay, I'll do it.
They'll go along with it. Yeah. They don't have an opinion. And talking about emotion or intimate details or having conversations probably aren't happening.
It's not going to happen.
Now, with a people pleaser, you can have them, but they're probably going to say everything you're saying.
Yeah, they're just going to mirror back.
Oh, yep. Yeah. What's going on? With the easygoing person, they're just chill. They're like, whatever. It doesn't really matter. And it can, you know, it's kind of great when you have a chill kid, but, or a chill husband, but guess what? You can only stop those emotions for so long, and then they can erupt out of nowhere.
And you're like, whoa, dude, I didn't even know you had the ability to have that much emotion.
Right. And then they don't even know what's going on because they're controlled by the limbic system, the lower brain, because it's our stress response, because really building up that wall is a wall of protection. And it's very common for people who kind of dissociate. That's an easygoing person. Mm-hmm. That they are definitely people who often fall into depression.
Yeah.
And they just have a low mood because they've blocked so much out. And so it gets really difficult. I mean, you can, there's some people I'm sure who are easygoing and enjoy new experiences and like being around people. And that's awesome. But typically they will be able to have intimate conversations. They will know what they're feeling. They will be able to say what they want. So that's the difference between those. And so that's where we want to look at ourselves. And if we're parents, we want to look at our kids and see like, hey, am I stuck in my stress response a lot? We need to look at, there's ways that you can move out of that. And we're not talking about that right now. But is that, more importantly, what we're talking about today? What is our God-given personality?
Yeah.
If it's one of the things we said that's done out of fear, that's not your personality.
No, that's just behavior driven out of fear.
Yes. And so I'm reading right now, I'm going to read a Bible verse from Isaiah 41, and this is verse 10, and it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." God does not want us stuck in fear. He does not want us stuck in our stress response. That's not how he designed us to be. That is not our personality. I think today a lot of people are stuck in chaos. They're stuck in fear and anxiety, and it's kind of running their lives. Mm-hmm. That happiness piece is not even attainable when you're stuck in fear. And so that is really difficult. That leads us to our question, how do we know if who we are is a God-given personality trait? Mm-hmm. What if I really like people And I enjoy people.
Yeah. I mean, because this is the kind of question I had, because I was like, well, then how do you know? How do you know what your personality is? It's a great question. What if you are, you know, having these, you're having perfectionism go on, or people pleasing? Like, how do you know if that's driven out of fear, or, you know, maybe what if it really is your personality?
That's a great question. And there is a good answer to tell really easy whether or not it's your God-given personality or whether you're functioning out of your stress response. Yeah. And so let's take perfectionism. Somebody who really likes to sell. And it's like, okay, if you're excelling at what you're doing, whether it's your job, yeah, whether it's your house, whether it's all areas, if you are having a blast and it's fun, mm-hmm, and you're energized by it, and you love it, and you enjoy it, and you're not exhausted, and you're not resentful, and this fills you up, that's a sign that that's your personality.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean because you like to excel that you're necessarily functioning out of your stress response. Not if it fills you up, gives you energy, makes you happy, motivated, and you have strong and healthy relationships with others.
Yeah.
That is a God-given talent. That's, you're shining exactly where you should be. Mm-hmm. And so, and if we go with people pleasing, yes, there, I think there's people who are awesome with people.
Yeah.
And they love it. And it fills them up, right? And that just meeting new people is exciting. But they're not going to have that exhaustion. They're going to know their boundaries. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to speak up when they need to speak up. They're not just going to go along with anybody and everybody. They might like to try new things, mm-hmm, and be adventurous and do a lot of things. But they're not going to do everything somebody mentions.
Yeah.
They're going to have boundaries. And they're going to have energy. And they're going to enjoy being around people. They're not going to be resentful. So if being around people and serving people is what makes you happy and you get energy and joy out of it, that's a God-given personality.
Yeah.
And it's the same with being kind of easygoing and chill. It's like you don't have to have things your way. That's awesome. If you're able to talk about your emotions, if you're able to build positive relationships, if you are interested in things and motivated, but easygoing, that could be your God-given personality then.
Yeah.
It's key. It's energizing. It's joyful. You can find happiness. You're not resentful. Those are the things we want to look for when we're trying to find our God-given personality. And I know for me, I love parties. I love to throw parties. And I know
she throws the best parties. They're really awesome.
And we celebrate anything and everything, right?
Yeah.
We can have like a party every day celebrating something.
Yeah.
And it's just fun and food and, you know, it's light. But I enjoy it. And I know when I have parties and I like to have bigger parties too, like 30 people over and I do all the stuff and make all the food and decorations, whatever. It's like I like doing that.
Yeah.
Someone's like, oh my gosh, you got to be exhausted. We just have to leave and leave you go. It's like, no, I'm energized. I'm happy.
I like it.
I'm having fun. This is exactly what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Where if somebody is doing it out of perfectionism or people pleasing, it's like, oh, this is what everybody's expecting me to do. And I'm exhausted and I'm tired and I can't handle it. Then you're doing it out of fear of not belonging or not being loved.
Yeah.
Or not making people happy. And so there's a difference between the two. And it's hard to move out of other people's opinions of you. Because
Absolutely. That
negative thing about parties, that was reflected on me. And other people had that idea, like almost like I had to feel like this was bothersome or I had to change it or I couldn't excel or I couldn't make it too fun or I couldn't outdo, you know, anybody.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a second.
I think that's where the enemy tries to get to us with identifying us with things that are not of God.
Right. It doesn't matter. Do it out of joy. Do it out of love.
Yeah.
Do it to serve others. It's kind of why I do the
parties. Absolutely.
And it's like, and if I don't want to do parties, if you don't want to do parties, don't do parties by all means.
Don't
do it.
If you don't want to do it, don't do it.
If
I mean,
not
unless it's like, you know, something that the Lord's calling to you and you're comfortable, but that's a different
thing. That's a whole different thing and a whole different podcast.
Yeah.
But it's like, right. So your God-given personality is things that bring you joy. They're not, if you're stuck in opposition and anger, you're stuck in your stress response and there's things going on.
Yeah.
And God wants you to shine and move out of that. And so there's things you can do for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can seek help from a professional,
mm-hmm,
and move out of that stress response and start, you know, you can start researching and looking into that if you're struggling.
Because
there.
God doesn't want us. God tells us directly in his word so many times over and over and over that we are not to fear because he's with us, because he has already identified us as children of God who are
Amen.
Made in love and who are love because God is love. And that's how he identifies us. He wants us to be living in this world truly out of genuineness of ourselves to serve others and to serve him and to love him.
Amen. So our goal for you, our task, is to go out and find your God-given personality.
So kind of to close us out, I have one last, we have one last Bible verse. Mm-hmm. And it's Deuteronomy 31:6.
To help you find that personality.
Yes.
Yes.
It says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you.
Amen.
This is so beautiful. And God is always with us. There's no time when he's not. And so we have nothing to fear. There should be no fear in trying to prove ourselves to others or prove that we're something. Because God already sees us. He's already identified us. And he's told us who we are.
Right. So when we have this peace, when we can move out of that stress spot, and sometimes we need a little extra help. But when we move out of that, we can take God's peace and let it rest in our mm-hmm. soul and move us to that joy and happiness and serve others as God intended us to be in our own true personality that's anchored in love.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so I'm just going to close this out in prayer. So if you guys want to join me.
Oh, yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for making us aware of who we are. Thank you for identifying us as children of God, made in the image of you, mm-hmm. who are fully loved and fully with you all of the time, Lord Jesus. I thank you for making us who we are. And Lord, may we take our true personality, our God-given personality, into the world mm-hmm. to love you and to serve you and to glorify you, but also serve others as you came down into this world and served others. Lord, if we have any fear, if there's any tendencies that we have or behaviors that are done out of fear, Lord, would they be overcome by the mighty name of Jesus?
Yes.
And that Satan may be trampled and that chains would break. Lord God, we thank you for the identity that you have given us. And Lord, may we take that and stand firm in it today. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. We hope that this is empowering for you and your friends and your family, where you can take this to heart and move into your true personality, anchored Amen. In love.
Yeah.
Amen. And so we hope to see you again. We look forward to seeing you mm-hmm. again in 2 weeks.
We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
In faith and love,
Jaina
and Kelly.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. If you are looking for more daily inspiration, go follow us on Instagram. We created an Instagram page and it's called faithfully_apologetic. So go there and give us a follow and a like and comment.
And you'll find inspiration, words of wisdom, and we're sharing God's love and word.
In faith and love,
Kelly
and Jaina. Bye.